Welcome to the show, where country music's biggest stars share their stories, and the hits keep coming.
Hey, y'all, it's Lainey Wilson.
Hey, everybody, it's John Party.
Hey, guys, it's Jordan Davis.
And you're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
You're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
DJ Chris Armstrong.
This is Country Conversations with your host, DJ Chris Armstrong.
Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my truth. Let me tell you about all the things in life that I've been through. I can speak for the poor man. I can speak for the broken. I can speak for the woulda, shoulda man I could have.
What up?
You all right?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Thanks, not too bad. Yeah. Appreciate you taking the time out. So it's good to be chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's things? Anyway, you're busy enough over in Nashville, I'm sure, at the minute with the Garth Brooks' bar and the...
It never ends. No, it's been busy. It's starting to pick up again, thankfully. It's been slow season, basically, you know, since the holidays. And usually St. Paddy's Day, you know, March, spring break, all that, it all starts picking back up. So kind of turns into a shit show.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for taking the time out to come and speak to me. We go back to the start then, I guess. You're in Michigan, born and raised then, yeah?
Yep.
And how was it growing up there? Was there much of a country influence? And like, how did you find being up there as a just getting your life together and figuring things out?
Well, I played hockey my whole life. You know, that's what I did until I was about 23. Played a pretty high level of hockey, and then once I quit playing competitively, you know, I picked up a guitar and started writing songs and all that. But I grew up listening to Motown music, country music, and Irish drinking songs.
Oh yeah,
that's it, man. Like that's how I got into music. My parents both, you know, really love music. My mom especially. Her and I used to sing karaoke all the time when I was young, and like, you know, I always loved to sing, but I never had time to do it because I was always playing travel hockey. So, you know, long story short, once when I was in college and my Xbox broke, my folks had bought me a guitar because, you know, I got a deer camp, a hunting camp up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and my cousins all play music. So that's kind of where I got the live music influence, was from, you know, all my first and second cousins up there, and they were, you know, really talented guys. And and my dad always wanted me to play at our hunting camp. And yeah, I'm in college, Dad. Would you like me to go to class? And sure as shit, I barely went to class, and I taught myself how to play guitar. So that's kind of how it all got going.
Very good. Very good. I've been up in Michigan once. I done a wedding gig in Michigan for a mate of mine married a girl from out next Lansing.
Yeah. Yep.
So we flew over to Nashville for a week and then drove up from Nashville to Michigan for the wedding and then back down to Nashville. But managed to take in a bit of Alabama, like the band Alabama. We played in Illinois on the way back. So fantastic stuff.
Nice. But, how'd you like Michigan?
Yeah, we were only there maybe for like a day or two, but it was great. I love the American muscle car thing. Like I took out a fret. We hired out a Dodge Challenger.
Okay.
And drove up, and then my mate's brother, he wanted to be a spinner. He wanted me to take him out for a spin in it. So we turned off where the wedding venue was. We turned off the highway, and it was just red dirt road. This is like, this is proper back road America. This is where it's meant to be.
It's gorgeous up there, though, isn't it? I mean, Lansing's a nice area. You know, there's a lot of great farmland around there. But I do some hunting out there. It's pretty.
I grew up on a farm myself here at home, like a small beef farm. It would be nothing compared to, I'd say, the size of farms you get in America. But just it's been a family thing. We've been there for seven generations. It's always been handed down. So
it's amazing.
I have to keep it going. Not that it's like Yellowstone. It's not. I'm not going to fail. Not in my watch.
Whatever, it's yours.
Yeah, well, there's nobody coming after us anyway, so that's okay. But so self-taught guitar then. You're obviously a bit of a crafter. I was reading your bio, and you moved down to Florida then. You were doing a bachelor's degree in business admin, and then you're at a full-time job. You were gigging at the same time. So like, you're a bit of a crafter. Like, you don't really, you just buckle down and get on with it. Yeah.
When I have to, yeah. When I put my mind to it, man. Yeah, I moved down to Florida. I was there for 3 years. I initially moved for the gal I was dating. And yeah, shocker, we broke up like 6 months in or something like that. And, you know, the deal was, if I moved down to Florida, you know, I told my folks, if you'll help me just a little bit, I'll go back to school. And because I quit school for, you know, like a year, and I was digging ditches and hated everything I was doing. And I was like, I'm going to go back to school. I can't do this anymore. And so, long story short, I ended up getting my degree. I stuck it out down in Florida, got my degree, and said, screw it, let's give Nashville a try. You know, everybody was so nice down there, and, you know, complimentary, you know, you're so good, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, let's go where everybody goes, and that's Nashville. And man, it's a very humbling experience being here, and you learn a lot, and it's really been pretty incredible. I've met some amazing people and some of the most talented people you'll ever meet. It's been pretty awesome.
I mentioned the band Alabama before, but I believe they cut their teeth playing bars in Florida back in the day originally. Then they obviously made it bigger. But like, moving up to Nashville then, so you arrived in Nashville day one. What do you do? What do you have any contacts there, or do you just arrive and go with the flow, or how do you find it?
So it's a cool story, in my opinion. I found a house on Craigslist. Don't recommend it. Don't recommend it. But it got me here. I moved in. I didn't know anybody here. And I moved in. I found this house. I talked to these people. Sent them like a deposit. It was very ballsy on my end, just sending money to some stranger on Craigslist. And, you know, photographers can make pictures look really good when they want to. So I pull into town, and I like drinking beer. So the first thing I did was stop at the gas station, pick up a case of beer, because I knew I was about to move all my shit into this house. And I moved in with four dudes that I'd never met yet. Don't know any of them, you know, didn't know anything about anything. So I get there, and the house was there, thankfully. I was kind of worried that it wasn't going to be there.
Yeah.
And the house was disgusting. Kind of expected that, but the rent was like $450 a month. So I was like, yeah, this will work for now. You know, I was 27 when I moved to town. And that's where I met one of my best friends in town, Colin Cross. So the first night he was at this, they have this thing called Whiskey Jam here in town. Yeah. And it's like artist songwriter showcase thing, and he had just gotten back from that, and so we were talking about that, and he also played hockey, so we had very similar stories. So we got to chatting, drinking some beers, and then it's like, you want to play some music? And we sat down and played one of our favorite guys is Kip Moore. We sat down and played some Kip Moore music, and just kind of hung out and settled in. And then where we lived, we called it the Rock Block, because there was four houses on this little street, and everybody in the houses all played music. So we kind of had our own little like thing there, and we'd have bonfires and play music, and it was a whole era. And then when everybody decided to move on and go have a nicer home and all that, you know, we're all still buddies and chat and everything. It was a really cool time. You know, the house was trash, but it got me to town, and I met some great people because of it. But the first night, beers and music, that's what it was.
Sounds country, all right.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's all there somewhere, yeah. You touched upon Kit Moore. Kit Moore will be massive over here in Northern Ireland. A lot of love for Kit Moore and the UK as well in general. After all, he won like international and like international performer of the year at the CMA awards. I would say he's not so big in Nashville, so it's good to hear somebody from that side of the pond picking up Kit Moore. He wouldn't just I don't think he's as well received in Nashville. I don't know if that's right or wrong. Maybe you could tell me different.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think I've seen him multiple times. I've met him, and I'm a big fan of his music. I love his writing style. I love his music. I love his energy. But he does things his way, and Nashville doesn't like when people want to do things their own way. You know, Eric Church is another one of my favorite guys, right? And he does things his own way too. And those are two guys, in my opinion, who don't get the credit that is deserved. Now, granted, Eric Church is on a whole different spectrum than Kip Moore, but I don't know why Kip isn't more popular. I mean, he's had a few number ones, and he's got great music. I mean, and no disrespect to anybody, but there's some really crappy music that is out these days, and it's like, what is this? Sorry, my dog is getting jealous. I'm talking to you. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Kip. I think it's just because he doesn't go according to the rules, and like anything, people don't like that when they don't have control over you.
Yeah, I suppose like it's like Willie Nelson back in the day, and like he didn't really you see them at the start, he's dressed up, well suited and booted, like the way they want him to be, and then
Right.
he's away off to Austin doing his own thing and making his own path, and here he is, 94 years of age and still going yet.
Yeah, I did the legend. So you know, it's a weird business. Like that's the one thing I've learned is it's just like there's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no right way or wrong way. There's a lot of wrong ways, and I've learned a lot of the wrong ways. But I guess the right way is when a song sticks or something goes viral. I mean, you got so many outlets now with TikTok and all that, and I hate social media, so like I'm kind of dragging ass on that end of things, and it's just like I don't know. I just keep putting songs out, and I play music for a living, and I'm very fortunate for that, and that's what I got, you know.
Well, your song "The Voice," I'd say it's about 20,000 or so streams on Spotify. So it's your biggest one on there at the minute. But I was having a little listen coming home. I like a good beefy upbeat country, and coming home I think sounds great. That'd be one of my favorites, I would say.
Thank you.
But again, I'm a country music DJ myself, so I'm more about the party songs and the beaty songs rather than the slower stuff. But have you anything coming up then, or you're writing at the minute? Are you always writing, or what's your plans for the next couple of months?
Yeah, no, I mean, writing for me, it comes in waves. I mean, I know there's people here who write three songs a day, and like, I don't have it in me to do that, I don't think. Maybe I do, and I'm just not spending enough time, but I'm always writing something. I always have ideas, you know. At certain times of the year, I've noticed over the years, like, depending, you know, we're getting into the nice weather right now, so like I'm happy and want to be outside, and you got to change your surroundings a little bit to kind of get a different headspace as far as writing goes. You know, different surroundings kind of inspire different things, obviously. But yeah, no, I'm always writing. We did a lot of writing during COVID. My buddy Colin Cross and Tim Angston and I, we wrote some what I think to be fantastic songs. I mean, they are really, really like not all of them are. Some are better than others, but they're great songs, and we showcased a lot of them during COVID, and we actually made a good organic fan base through live streaming because we couldn't do anything else, right? So a lot of songs written then, and I've just been really focusing on things that I've been doing, trying to finish certain songs or songs that I've been sitting on, like this one that I got a new one coming out called On My Own. which I think is a really great song. Very proud of that one. But you know, everyone's like, why don't you put more music out? I'm shit. I just like, you know how much it costs to record a song? Like, there's so much more that goes into it than you realize. And it's like, I'm just a poor musician, man. Like, I'll put them out when I can.
Nah, well, that's fair enough. Yeah, I suppose you're in like you're in the country music recording capital of the world, so I think studio time, I think, would be very, very precious, I would say.
It can get, depending on who you're working with, it can be expensive. Yeah. But you know, that's also why you move here as well. Like, you learn things. That's the main thing to do when you come here: network, and you learn things, and you listen to people, and you meet people, right? So like, my producer right now is a guy named Parker Daniel, and he's a good buddy of mine. And he has done some incredible things. He's played in my band, in one of my bands over the years. And he's gone on the road with me a couple of times. And he's doing some incredible stuff and working with some incredible people. And I'm fortunate enough to, I can just call him and say, hey, let's set up, you know, we'll go to the studio next week, and we can make that happen. There's really no wait time with him, which is really nice. And he doesn't charge me an arm and a leg, so that's nice too.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing new stuff for sure. And then in terms of like the bar scene then, how do you find it? Do you get the chance to do much of your own stuff there? Is it mostly covers, or do you test the water with new stuff and see what people think?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot more of that lately, because I just kind of established a new band probably end of 23. We really just decided this is who we're going to be, and this is what we're doing. So we played together for the last year, and people were requesting my stuff, you know, from out of people come from all over the world, obviously here to Nashville, but when people started requesting my songs, I'm like, all right, we're going to have to start playing more of my songs. So obviously you got to play covers. I mean, we're playing 4 hours at a time. And when nobody knows who the hell you are, you got to play Wagon Wheel 100 times. You know what I mean? So, but I do, I have been playing a lot more of my music lately, and people are fortunately receptive of it, which is, it's humbling and it's really cool.
It's good. There's nothing better to hear, to be up on stage and hear somebody singing back the words that you've penned down yourself.
Greatest feeling ever.
You talk about playing Wagga Wheel for the 100th time in a night. I say the country music DJ stuff, like, I do weddings here at home as well, just generic weddings. So it's the same cheesy stuff all the time. When I get to go and DJ country, it's fantastic. It's the music that I love. But one song that's always played every set, apart from Wagon Wheel, of course, as well, but it would be Man, I Feel Like a Woman. And I believe it is the Mr. Brightside of country music. It's just never going away. Everyone wants to hear it. And it's just, here we go again.
Yep. And we get requests for it all the time. I'm like, and it's always, you know, it's always a lady or a bachelorette party requesting it. I'm like, ladies, do you see a single female up here on this stage? Like, you really want me to sing this? I sang it last week, was the last time I sang it. And I don't normally sing it. And we did it in record key. And you hear my voice. I have a lower voice. I have no business singing that song in record key. It was brutal.
Next time I'm in Nashville, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to come and ask you for Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
It's fine. That's fair. Come on out. I'll buy you a drink.
But only if you play Coming Home first. That'll do.
I could do that.
But I'll not take up any more of your time. It's been a privilege chatting to you. So thank you very much again for coming on. And we'll get this out over the next few days.
All right, brother. Well, you have a great night, and I appreciate you.
See yourself. And stay safe for the gigs and look after yourself. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye bye bye.
I said you're looking at the real thing. Somebody from the country ain't looking at a boy toy. You're looking at a cowboy. I want to take you down the back road.
Thanks for listening to another Country Conversation with DJ Chris Armstrong. We hope you enjoyed today's show.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
For more information and updates, make sure to follow DJ Chris Armstrong on Facebook and on Instagram at DJ_Chris Armstrong.
I always follow him.
Make sure to stay up to date with the latest episodes on Spotify, Amazon, DJChrisArmstrong.com, and more.
It's all online.
On the web.
Until next time, take care.